2020 regular meeting Port of Kingston. Let me go through the. I'd like to welcome everyone. Please, if you have comments from those in attendance, be allowed upon recognition of the chair. Identify yourself at that time by stating your name. If you would like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to the regular meeting. Please submit your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. Alrighty, let us call the meeting to order, and if we could all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, guys. Let's see. So, we have the agenda before us. Has everyone had a chance to review the agenda? Are there any revisions?
Yes.
Yes, Mary?
I've reviewed the agenda, and I would like to request that we amend it to include item 6B, a resolution for indemnification for three staff people.
And I'd like to second that.
Okay, very good. So we have a motion before the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, excellent. So we've got that addition. Very good. We have a portion of public comment at this point. I believe we have a participant. Mr. Carson, do you have anything for us?
I'm just here to listen.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Ron.
Thanks.
Okay, before us we have the consent agenda. These matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. We have those items before us. I entertain a motion to take action.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda's three items.
I second that motion.
Very good, thank you. Okay, motion carried. All right, we will move on then to action items. Item A is, you know what? Oh yeah, okay. All right. I kept thinking, we had the minutes to approve, but we just now approved them. Let me get rid of those. Excellent. Okay, we have action item A, approve resolution 05-01-2020, establishing a method and process for the use of electronic signature technology. Who would... at this point, can we just have a quick little presentation on that?
I think we should get it on the floor first with the motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve action item 6A.
I second that motion.
Very good. And all in favor?
Okay. Discussion?
Let's have a discussion. I'd like to... have a quick discussion on that. Greg, do you want to bring that for us?
Sure, and I'll encourage Tara Goffmeyer, our executive assistant, if she has any comments too. Basically, a lot of people have moved to electronic signatures, and given COVID-19 and all the challenges that that entails, this allows, whether it be Wendy or anybody, including commissioners that we can electronically apply signatures and they're certified and everything instead of having to come in person in order to be able to address these issues. So, you know, we're probably way behind technology compared to, I know a lot of people have already implemented this in the sector. So I asked Tara if she could look this up and implement, put something together for us. So that's what you're looking at here under this resolution. Tara, do you want to have, do you have any comments that you want to put forward?
Just that this was recommended by MRSC. We did a webinar training through them, and this was one of the items they recommended to put in place. And the template I used was from their website. So, this is based off guidance from MRSC, and I think it's a really useful tool, and it'll help us, you know, in the future. So, I think it'll be a good thing for us.
Have you decided what organization you're going to go through to do this?
So the resolution I've got on here, DocuSign for the initial electronic signature provider, and then
okay.
Let's see. I think we can change that at any time if we need to. But on this, I've got DocuSign.
Yeah, a lot of organizations are doing this. They're going to. We're doing it in my other office too.
Are they? Okay, good.
For signatures that are required by law.
Mm-hmm.
But you're asking me that question?
Yes.
Well,
your office is going to it. Your legal office, I figure you know.
That we're going to be doing DocuSign. The issue comes in if you need a notary, and that's a whole separate thing that you have to do. And so we did a free trial of that, but I don't know if we're going to stick with that. So I don't know if this enables us also to, there's cost involved and rules and all sorts of things. So it would be something to look into further if that's what we were going to do too. But we don't usually need a notary for things, do we? On a regular basis? No, it's just signing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just to add a comment, if I may. I was in a webinar with the state auditor's office and the county and the state treasurer's office a few weeks ago, and both of their offices are going to be doing this also.
Excellent.
If that's helpful.
In terms of efficiency, it makes so much sense. In terms of being accountable for your signature, I guess I have some questions about how Greg could just decide to have us sign a bunch of things that we didn't know about. How do you make sure? I'm not picking on you, Greg. Trust me. But I am trying to understand how it works so that the electronic signer is indeed has given permission or directed that the signature be used. How does that work?
So the documents go through. I think the thing we can do is probably we'll send you information so that you can go through exactly how they do this, you know, for the security. But basically, it goes through like an encryption. You get it. You have to click on it. You have to get it and click on it, and then you can click to sign it with the signature, and then they can, won't necessarily be your exact signature, the electronic under right.
But am I the only one that can click and make my signature appear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And I also believe that we can do, each person gets a unique PIN identifier. We might have to pay more money for that. And then you have to enter your PIN before you can sign.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. If it's not $1 million.
Yeah.
I can send some additional information on DocuSign and how it works. If that would be helpful.
We used, Sally and I did a refinance just before the holiday break and used the DocuSign, and that's how it worked. They would send you an email through DocuSign, and then you would sign the document and then send it. And it's an encrypted, protected program and everything. So that it directly comes to your email from the through the action.
Okay, so we're not telling someone else to just go ahead and do it.
No.
That seems fine to me. I'm happily supporting this.
Okay, great. Any other questions on this?
Not for me.
Okay, we have resolution 0501-2020 before us. Shall we have a quick vote on that? In favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Motion carries. Thank you so much. Okay, and now to action item B. Resolution for indemnification for employees, and that is resolution 05-02-2020. Entertain a motion for that. Well, here we've got a kind of the same kind of situation here at this point, don't we?
Yeah, so yeah. I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
And I will second the motion.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Greg, do you want to give us a little update on this then?
Yeah, so there. A gentleman named Robin Horton in a lawsuit at the Port of Kingston, as well as Kitsap County, and he also named deputy sheriffs as well as three port employees personally. And the port employees, including myself, Ray Carpenter and Austin Goff, we were discharging our duties as port employees at the time. But as a result of this, there's precedent for this. It's not unheard of. We're asking, each of us has requested that the Port Commission consider representing us individually as well within the lawsuit under the Port of Kingston. So that's what each of us are asking the Port Commission to consider at this time. And it's allowed for and off under RCW 53.08.208. So that's... I don't want to necessarily go into because it's under currently.
Sure, absolutely.
But the court was named in the lawsuit, and the three individuals, myself, Ray, Carpenter, and Austin. At this time, we ask the commission to consider this resolution to make sure that we're indemnified as well under this lawsuit.
Excellent.
And I have no problem backing this, considering you were acting as a port employees, doing exactly what we have asked you to do.
Yes. Part of port business, for sure.
I also support it. I do have a question over who will be doing the defense, whether that will come through Enduris or through Schneller.
That will come through Enduris. And Enduris has retained a law firm to represent Port of Kingston, and this also means they'll be representing us. And we also received an email to that effect from Enduris saying that they are going to represent both Port of Kingston and us three as individuals, as co-defendants.
And I'll add that as Port President, I did also outreach to Smellick and our attorney. And just wanted to make sure that this was all clarified. They had a positive response from the Enduris attorney that they indeed would be representing individual staff members as well. And that email just came in here this morning as well. So that's very, very good news, and I was very pleased to see that as well. But I think this resolution does bolster our defense for individual suit actions as well for port employees, and provides that clarification, if you will.
So,
yeah.
I was a little confused by the wording of the resolution. I think maybe I can't see it in front of me, but the second paragraph, I believe, starts off by mentioning, stating that Schmeling and his firm would be doing the defense. Is that, in my scanning, it, did I get that wrong?
You're correct. So what this says is, so there is two elements to this. They're being represented by de jure. If event that the jurist says, well, we're not going to cover the full amount of the claim, then we're represented by Schmeling, City and Davis.
Yeah.
Discussion between the port employees and the jurist. What this says is that you're going to cover us if there was, let's say, the jurist says, we're only paying 80%, and the port employees have to pay 20%. Then we would revert to Schmeling and City and Davis would represent us in that discussion.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yes. Was this a document drafted by Schmeling, Sitkin, and Davis?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is good. Okay. Excellent. Any other questions? So nope. We have a motion and a second. All in favor of Resolution 0502-2020?
Aye.
Aye. Excellent. Motion passes. Great. Where's my... Okay, we are now moving on to financial report. Wendy, do you want to go over that for us?
Me? I wasn't expecting that.
Well, I would say just more so with any kind of questions
I have a question.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Laura.
Happy to answer.
Okay, so on, the pages are weird. So under profit and loss January to April 2020, on the water portion, do you pay the water bill like every 3 months or something? Or
it's every other month. So I believe it was, we paid it in maybe March, and we're just now getting another one that I could just pay today.
So obviously the watering started between, because it, you know, jumped from 3,000 to 15,000. So there must have been a lot of watering going on. Is that a normal jump?
No. You know what? I am so sorry. I can exactly answer that question. One of those invoices was put in at $14,000, not $1,400. So, and I made the report before I caught that error a couple days ago.
Okay. Thank you.
And I didn't even think about it until you said that. I will be happy to send around a corrected report. So sorry about that.
Because bathrooms were closed.
Yes, they were. And another thing, actually, since you brought up the water thing, which I found really interesting, because I was looking at the bills really closely, the water, is that they didn't read our meters this last time. They just billed us the basic water charge.
Oh, right.
So somewhere in there we'll be catching up.
Okay. Thank you. That was a great explanation.
Oh, and I, again, I'm so sorry. I did not catch that.
I'm just going to take a second to just scan this real quick, but I.
That was the one that really stood out to me.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry. We were in some training right there during that time, and that's my fault. I did not double check it.
I will say, generally, April was a bad month. I mean, we didn't really contribute to our reserves. But the first quarter was equal to or pretty much equal to what we expected. We had almost 100,000 contribution to our reserves, which is good. We were hoping to contribute over half a million for the year, but given the pandemic, I have to say that was pretty decent. But now we're seeing some of the impacts of the pandemic. For April, we had a lot of business. Ray and the marina staff have done an awful lot of work, laying the groundwork to create a lot of demand for yacht clubs and in the guest dock, for example, and then get ancillary business from any demand for the fuel dock, for example, in April. And we were trying to build the shoulder season out from our normal kind of the narrow summer period or peak period. We're trying to build that out, and they've done a lot of really good work. It's too bad that we had to turn away all that business during April, but it'll come around, and now as we open up again, I expect that we're going to be filling that guest stock pretty substantially. We are going to be down, parking continues to be soft, and I don't know what's going to happen with to project, given how many people will actually tell them you will be working more consistently, and maybe they'll decide that they don't need to have monthly parking keepers and all that. I don't know. So we'll just have to see how that unfolds, to be honest with you, going forward, but we're looking at it pretty closely. And those are three of the areas where, is guest dock mortgage, the fuel dock volumes, and parking. Those are the three where we see variable revenue, where we have upside during second quarter and third quarter especially.
Yeah.
So where do you see the port falling, in phase two or phase three?
We're in phase two.
That's what I thought, because that's what they were, the WPPA were, okay.
There are
possibly next week.
Started up a little earlier than we did.
Right.
The problem is that health department, as well as the governor's guidelines.
Right.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure that other people, to be honest, they could probably go into the guest dock and follow the guidelines easily, but we want to promote activities and do things which would compromise certainly the spirit of it, much less the intent. But
so I am a little confused over the statement yesterday that port is closing down all of its activities until the end of August in the park. How does that stack up with the opening of the marina? I just need to understand those two things. I don't need to reconcile them. I just need to understand.
Yeah, very good question.
Events tend to be like high concentration for lots of people. The guest dock, you can only put one boat in, so unless they come in as all party boats, we're probably okay. And then they're also fairly far apart. Even then, when people are transiting back and forth, they have to step over and configure mirrors in order to keep the distance. You start getting closer together. Most people are pretty respectful. So the guest dock, we don't see that. Other than we did cordon off like the picnic tables so that they couldn't start having a party. But in some cases, you might have family and they decide they're okay to have family members doing something like that. But we have them. Up the park, but the park is just open at first. You have to dock. You have to inherit this much more distance between everyone.
Yeah, I think that sounds there for you, isn't it? Or,
can I point out one thing on the profit and loss?
Yes.
In that 4-month profit and loss, which shows each month, I just wanted to point out that in April we got about $80,000 worth of property tax.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And I was a little shocked by that. Because I wasn't thinking about it, but people hadn't paid their property taxes by April 30th.
Right. Oh, that's good. That's a good note.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So we should collect somewhere around $206,000 or $207,000 this year in property taxes. I mean, there's some cents and dollars hanging out there, but that's around the rough number.
Yeah, that's right. And that, does that come in at two separate intervals to us as well, right?
Well, it comes in at, I'm thinking that is as they collect it, because we get a little bit of money like that usually every month. But this was a big amount, and then I realized that it was, you know, taxes were due by April 30th. But it's never that much money. It's always, you know, a few thousand here and there. So I would suspect that in October we'll see another big number like that.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Great. Hang on a second. Oh, here we go. Excellent. Is any other financial report questions then? Hearing none. We're then off to public comment, and we have a member of the public still with us here. I believe, Ron, do you have anything for us?
No, I'm fine. I'm happy.
Oh, good.
I'll say one last thing. We still, and it's just reiterate what we said last month, but we have about $1.8 million in reserves.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah. Thanks to the staff. The awesome job. Thanks, guys. Everybody.
Oh, absolutely. It's not been easy, I know. As I understand, the commissioners have applied for the variance to go to phase two in relation to the COVID-19 situation here. So I think we'll actually hear fairly quickly on that.
I think today.
Yeah, I think this is imminent. Okay, we will move on to item 9, commissioner reports. Anyone want to start that?
Let Mary start, Dave.
Okay.
I really wanted to talk a little bit about the Lindbaugh project and KCAC, Kingston Citizen Advisory Committee. Is it a council or a committee at this point?
I think it's council.
Okay, it used to be a committee. Anyway, their transportation subcommittee is been following all of the various possible improvements to deal with transportation improvements to deal with ferry traffic, and great concern are two large projects. One is the rerouting of the 104 traffic to the north, and which is quite far along in its development process. It's applied for and received. The county has applied for and received the funds to do property acquisition through condemnation along the route, which doesn't happen until you're quite far along with design. That project was submitted by the county to the federal funding regional competition through the Puget Sound Regional Council, but it was not awarded any funds. And in fact, it's pretty clear from discussions with folks at PSRC and other jurisdictions that there is a general sense that funding for major projects throughout the region is going to be significantly disrupted because of income and financial pressures from the virus. But at any rate, I don't know what is going to happen for the county with the fact that they're busily getting ready to expend property acquisition funds, but don't have a bead at this point on rest of the money and being able to actually build it. And that could be another 2 years before there's even an opportunity to reapply for apply for funds again. So one question was, well, why don't we try to see if the countywide federal funding competition could cover the realignment. And the reality is the project is too big and would take basically all the funds for the whole county. And I believe there will be some conversation about that at the next KRC, the Regional Coordinating Council Transportation Policy Committee, but my hunch is that it won't gain traction because there are so many other projects that are of a reasonable scale for that competition.
Mm-hmm.
So the future of that project is in timing limbo. And so with that, the person who's been the nominal head of that committee now, Mark Libby, the KCAC Transportation Committee, commented that makes the Lindbaugh project ever more important as a short-term fix for ferry traffic. And so we heard from, the commission heard a presentation from Pertit, the engineering firm that did the evaluation of the Lindbaugh project yesterday, and including a cost breakdown, and I think it's going to lead to some questions that all of us will have about the flexibility, the possibility of phasing that project in some meaningful way that will allow some utility as early as possible. There are significant issues with that project in terms of stormwater and trying to create an electronic digital connection between the lot and the ferry holding lane. So there's lots of questions to be asked. You know, what's absolutely necessary to do to get it going. And we just heard it all yesterday, so we'll be working on that. And the other thing that we've talked about doing, and I think we agreed, we thought was a good idea last week, was to have an opportunity for the results of that study to be presented to the Kingston 104 committee, plus invite as well folks from the Transportation Citizen Advisory Committee, from the Ferry Advisory Committee, from stakeholders, basically many different people in our community who've been working on this project for years will be interested in having an opportunity for everyone to hear the same thing, including each other's questions, in a disciplined, controllable, manageable format. And it will enable us to possibly walk past some of the confusion that happens when I thought I heard this and I thought I heard that, and who owns the information. We want to make this available to everyone. So we'll be working on that, and the best timing for it in terms of what questions we might want to have answered about feasibility before we actually make that community-wide presentation. So that was one thing. I'm very pleased to see it inching forward and making progress. So.
Very good. Thank you, Mary.
So that was Laura's turn. I was really looking forward to that too. And Mary's a perfect one to give that update because she has so much background in it. That's so essential. This last month or two, it's been really, I think, so beneficial for us to be able to meet like this. And also that the WPPA is providing those sessions where we can get up-to-date information and find out different ways to do things and opening ports and what they recommend happens. And this kind of situation with these meetings, how they think they should be run and different tips and things to make it so much easier for us because, you know, we don't really know how long this is going to last, and we don't really know whether or not it will occur again. And I think it's so beneficial that they are there for us, and that last month, I'm trying to remember her name, that attended our meeting.
Yes, our evening meeting, yes.
Yes, it was really fabulous to see that support, that someone would come in and take the time out of their schedule to be a part of our meeting, and I just think it's been so beneficial. I mean, our crew and staff and Greg and everybody there has been so wonderful, but to have these extra little pieces of advice come from an outside source that we can tap at any time, and they're doing it every week, I think it's just been fabulous. That's my update.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you. Well, the only thing I can add to what was said here in Commission Land is that we've had, I think, really a very beneficial relationship with the subcommittees of the Kingston Citizen Advisory Committee. And the additional thing I can add is in relation to the Lindvog project, and I did mention it to the consultants, but the fact is that the Parks, Trails, and Open Space Committee, which is a subcommittee of the Kingston Citizen Advisory Council, and I've been attending those meetings, and we had, I think, a very positive outcome of a series of potential mitigation projects for the wetland that, without the wetland actually being infilled and impacted, it will make it very difficult for the project to go forward. It's one of those kinds of things within the county code anyway, where a project is so critical to have the component of its design elements absolutely are going to require that part of that wetland has to be filled. There's no other feasibility to think about, you know, obviously you can't bridge over a wetland because, you know, the bridge would not allow the light to penetrate to keep the wetland plants going and all those bits and pieces. So the wetland has to be there. There's no way around it. But the 30% design element brings us so much further ahead than just having a 30% conceptual, if you will. To have the design elements and all the pieces of the puzzle figured out, and also I think our actions in relation to a future mitigation site just puts us that much further ahead for this idea Mary's talking about of whether or not we could do phasing or seek additional funding for the holding lane itself, and it might just bolster the holding lane system, if you will, you know, for when we can actually apply for federal money for additional design or whatnot. So I'm very encouraged by
the Petit report and their thoroughness. And I just wanted to provide that kind of summary, if you will, of the piece of the puzzle that subcommittee adds to the mix. Let's see, I don't really have anything else to add. Shall we go to staff reports?
Wendy's smiling.
We all jump in to say something, don't we? So with that, I'll start.
Okay.
So what has been going on? Well, I haven't missed Price is Right yet, so this is good. And I've been working on the, Greg, you'll be happy to hear this, the annual report that's due in a few days, so that's coming right along. And there was some training happening in that, anyway, I've just been, doing my normal stuff and working on that annual report. Sorry, not much there.
That's all good.
Critical stuff, the annual report.
It's critical things. For sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And before we leave, Wendy, I'd like to tell you how much I appreciate your jumping back in when we've needed you as we rolled through this.
Hello.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll second that. Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm happy to do it. I'm not going to leave you guys with nothing.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ray, did I hear you in the background? Do you want to?
Yeah, I'm back here cackling. Can you folks hear me right now?
Yeah,
yes.
That's better now.
Okay. I always think sometimes I'm not talking loud enough, so I always raise it, and all of a sudden I get people saying you're talking too loud. So that's not the case. First and foremost, commissioners, I just want to say thank you. I can't thank you enough. This is a big deal with what Greg shared with you. It could be a life change. Make a difference in my life, that's for sure. And I appreciate you folks always having our backs, especially at this time right now. It's really an incredible, unbelievable situation. And with Greg putting it forward, making you commissioners know what's going on. And I just can't thank you enough. It certainly took a big relief off of my back, because it's really been on my mind for quite some time since I was... that information was shared with me, so I just can't thank you enough. So stopping at going overboard here, moving forward, we're pretty fortunate. Last Friday, Greg and Jeanette and I were talking about slowly opening up the marina to try to get some of our revenue back that we've lost. Faith did an amazing job of getting yacht clubs in here, and then it took Jeanette and myself talking about it, and then Greg walked through the door. It's kind of funny, walked through the door, and he looked right at me and said, "We're open." And I said, "Wow, well, that's good," because that's what Jeanette and I were talking about. So right now, Jeanette and Faith been reaching out to a lot of these customers that we lost to see if we can get them to come back under definite restrictions. And it's going to be a lot of fun, because I think we can make some of our money back that we lost, or we're going to really try hard, even without the events, to bring people in. We're just going to use our customer service skills and the fact that people love Kingston to get them back, to go back, come back. So I'm pretty excited about that. The other staff members outside have been doing a wonderful job on the exterior. Tori's been working on the middle bathrooms, trying to make that presentable. We're going to do a little bit of paint and a little bit of this and a little bit of that to make it until we can get the RCO funding, hopefully, for that to happen and make it a much better thing. But I think we'll be pleasantly surprised with what we're going to be doing in the middle bathrooms. The contractors, they've moved forward, got the asphalt done up there. They did kind of screw up, though, you guys, just so you know, and it's not really funny, but it is. They decided to pour the concrete around one of our park benches up there, so the park bench is probably about 8 inches off the ground. They sunk it inside the concrete, so now they have to cut it back out and correct that issue. They're kind of hoping that we're just going to look the other way. Well, we can't do that, I mean, heaven's sake. So,
can that be cut off and re-welded?
that's what they were thinking. With you know what, it's the guys out there they said they would take care of it. They just were hoping that we would look the other way, and I was like, no, we can't do that. We just can't do that. So. I mean, you'd have to be a shorter 3-year-old to be able to sit there and be comfortable. the sign over there, I got to talk to them too because we have to get that in order also. So I'm kind of waiting for them to get back to me on that one over there. We did have a huge success with the crab opener with the tribal. They were absolutely wonderful. They were using our guest stock, paying for parking. It was just a good rapport that we have with them, and it's continuing on. And you know, like I said, it's been a lot of fun for me to work with the tribal members and different tribes, and then having them know that Port of Kingston supports them in any way we can. So, other than that, tenants have been great. Parking's been down, unfortunately, but what I saw with them, just talking to a lot of people and watching all my shows that I watched, it says that about 40% of the population that's been taking that Kitsap Transit Ferry and the Kingston Edmonds Ferry, they're probably going to be working from home permanently at least 4 days a week now. So that will affect, just so the commissioners know, that will affect our parking for a substantial amount of time. But Jeanette's been working really hard to try to repurpose. You know, we're going to redo the lot, obviously, in the future. But we're going to try to reel more people in to come to the Port of Kingston. And I think it might just take a period of time, but I think it'll happen, though. But again, other than that, folks, I'm here. I'm happy. Greg's just been great. Tara and Wendy, they've been great. And the whole staff, Port of Kingston staff, is, as usual, just A number one. And it starts with you, Commissioner. So thank you for that. I'm out. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
Hey, Ray.
Could you relay to Austin that the result of our resolution today, and that just let him know we've got his back and really appreciate your work and his work and Greg as well.
I think he froze.
I think that Ray is frozen.
Looks like he's asleep.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Turn on.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet.
Oh, I wish I could have screenshotted that. That was funny.
Not funny at all, Tara. Whatever.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I'll go next. Oh, if I can stop giggling. So I wanted to echo what Laura and Wendy said about the WPPA sessions. Those are so beneficial in guiding us on what to do in this pandemic. So that's been really helpful. I've been newly attending those. And I came back to the office for the most part starting last week and cleaning out our storage room and the cubicle here to make room potentially for the chamber, and then just sorting through records and moving some things off-site, getting our records more organized, and then updating the website and signage to notify the public, you know, of our operational changes. And then just notifying our summer concert entertainers to let them know that, you know, we are canceling, unfortunately. But they, for the most part, they've responded that they can't wait. They totally agree with the decision, and they can't wait till next year. So most people are being very positive in their responses. And then, we posted the controller position. So we've got some applications coming in for that. But that's pretty much it for me.
Great. Thank you, Tara.
Thanks.
Can I just make a slight comment here? One of the things that they pointed out at the WPPA roundtable was that if we ever are in a situation like we are here in this type of a meeting situation, and there's someone on the phone who cannot see us as we're speaking here, that it would become very imperative that we either be identified by the chair before we speak, or that we identify ourselves before we speak. So that whoever's on the phone would be able to know who is speaking. We don't have anybody on the phone, but I just had to throw that out there because she made me think of it.
She's oh, very good. Advisor. Yeah, thank you, Laura.
Yeah. And I think the recording of it would benefit from having that identification.
Yes, it would. As a matter of fact, it would. That's one of the points that they brought out, was that you have to pretend when you're in this situation, and that's exactly right, Mary, that nobody, they can't see you. Nobody can see you. So the ones who are listening to it. So it might be, even though we all have three very distinctive voices, but still, it would be beneficial for the public that maybe, you know, if Steve didn't identify us before we spoke, that we identify ourselves.
Right.
Good point.
That's really good, Laura. Yeah. Awesome.
All right, Greg.
Greg England, executive director. So we are returning the deposits that we received for the events, and we reached out to those sponsors, and we communicated with them. We just felt that was the fair and right thing, and they've expressed that if there's future opportunities, that they're ready to re-engage, and they would commit money to sponsoring other events if something comes up down the road. And I really appreciate Paul Weisinger at State Farm, and then Jet over Wilkie over at Windermere, and really appreciate folks that step up and help sponsor those events, because it wouldn't happen without that. I just want to thank you, the commissioners, too, just for, you guys always step up, you always support the staff, including me, and I don't take it for granted, and you do it, there's not a lot of agonizing, like, I don't have to worry, the staff doesn't really worry, they know that you're going to take action, you're going to consider it, take action, and that you're going to support our efforts, just as we hopefully support the mission of the court. But I do appreciate it, and I mirror what Ray said. It does mean a lot to us, especially if people are coming at you personally. You know, it's a big deal. Mark Horton has helped put together, did an awful lot of the heavy lifting with regard to our recreation conservation grant submittal through the state of Washington. And we are putting forward through the BIG program, which is the voting infrastructure grant. Primarily, we're also going to submit for the ALEA grant, which is the aquatic lands. All these acronyms in the government, even I forget about them, but we're going to submit for two grants, and that is mainly, that's just for the middle bathroom to get that rebuilt. That bathroom has been so maintained so well by the staff. I think it was originally built in 1966 when we looked it up.
Yeah.
It looks pretty, it's pretty good, though. They're having to do a lot of work, and it's just really reached beyond its useful life. And I think that's one of the benefits, though, of having a really robust capital plan that we're trying to build out, and also having a really robust maintenance and repair plan that Tori and Ray and the other staff, they've been working on developing, so that, you know, they looked at the other bathroom by the boat launch, and they said, this looks too great. You know, this is like really looks, I mean, wow, this is in really good shape, even though it's from the mid-90s. So, you know, they're way beyond, we maintain these things way beyond their useful life, and I really credit that to the staff maintaining our assets like they're their own. And it's just that middle bathroom, it's done. And it starts to fail systemically, and you get these major failures. And so now you're just starting to, you're really at the point of throwing good money after bad. So hopefully we'll see funding. It's about a $260,000, $259,000 submittal. The court's portion of it, at least the way it currently stands, is about $65,000. And I know the city and these whole programs are under an awful lot of stress, and going to be even more so, I have a feeling, going forward. But I hope that, you know, the number one amenity for marinas are the bathrooms. And they've studied it. They do surveys, whether it be Mark Bunzel at Wagner's, or you name it. And I have to say, it isn't romantic, but it's really flipping true. You think about life, you better be able to have a bathroom to go to. I mean, I grew up without houses, but, you know, I don't think anybody's too enthused about that anymore. So I think that we'll get that submittal in. We already have it. We already reviewed it with RCO. It already has a green light in terms of meeting all the criteria for the submittal, but we'll make sure that we go through it and do as thorough a job as possible. But Mark Horton of Washington Project Consultancy, he deserves a lot of the credit for that, as well as some of the staff. Tara helped pull up documentation for it, you name it. So all these things we're building are really nice to have foundational information so that you're organized, so you can do these things. They're simple things, are simple, and you do them quickly. So, but thanks to the staff and Ray, you know, thankfully you have Ray, because Ray has institutional memory that nobody has. And that's another thing, you know, I hope that we retain our employees, and your actions are exactly what's needed to be able to do that.
Yeah.
If we don't have your support and you don't have confidence in us, then all is lost. I mean, that's just, so I, you know, I really appreciate that, because I like to retain all the staff. I think they're all fantastic and they work super well together. And we're investing in them through all the training, and then they'll be building their institutional memory through, you know, just through experience of working here. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So thanks. So that's we're just going to do with the RCO submittal. Now in the fall, there's the Boating Facilities Program, the VFP. That's the primary pool of money that we have available. And there's they have these restrictions on what bucket of money you can draw from when you do these grant submittals. So there's a lot of grants, but they all have specific applications. So we will be submitting for the VFP grants in the fall as well. We'll put a list of that together, and we'll talk to you about that. The chamber, they were in a space that was just not working for them over here in the building. They terminated their lease. They needed kind of a home, a place to go. Some other plans fell through, but we, with your guys's guidance and approval, we thought, well, we can use this office here and pay us, and we have a workstation with kind of a separate space up here on an admin office, and we use it for training or intermittently, but we also have a conference room where we can do all these other activities. So we're going to rent that to them on a month-to-month basis for the same that they, for like $250 a month, I think it is. But I think, you know, we need to really support the chamber. And chambers everywhere are really struggling. It doesn't matter even if they were super healthy and robust before the pandemic. The effect on many small businesses hasn't been felt yet, and it's going to be heavy duty. And I think it's going to be tough to recover, and I'm worried about many of the businesses, frankly, in Kingston. I think some people can weather it, but I think it's going to take a toll. And the efforts of the chamber to support small business and also help them and have the expertise to help them out of this is going to be invaluable. So I think your guys' support of the chamber, and then that's going to manifest itself through this month-to-month lease, and then they're going to go through, I think, a rebuilding process, a reevaluation of what the chamber, of what our position is, what the membership looks like, and the overall leadership, and we're going to, you know, redouble our efforts going forward. So I just want to applaud Mia Kate Kennedy. She reached out and you guys responded, and I appreciate that, and then I'll execute on that, no problem. And that will probably take place pretty quickly here, within the next couple days. Also, I want to thank like Tara and all the staff, because they're also supportive. You know, we talked to them about everything. You know, they know about everything going on. There's no hidden agenda or secrets anywhere here. And so they're also like, hey, we're there for you guys, absolutely. Just as they were on the beautification effort. So last weekend, Ray and Joe and Marvin and a lot of folks, they helped put the flower pots up. And then we'll help, you know, as a safety valve, needed, you know, to make sure that we maintain those things. I think it's something it is beneficial, and it does, like, hey, we're still in business, and it gives you some life and beauty. So I do think it helps define peace in some, and it's an aesthetic thing. It doesn't make you a lot more money, but I think it's worth it. And, like, again, these guys, they always step up. know, and that's but that happened this last weekend, and I just I want to applaud those guys. Also, we talked and debriefed with you. Now we'll do a formal debriefing in an upcoming work session, but we had hired Mott McDonald to do an analysis based on the historical bathymetric surveys that were done, and to see what the resedimentation rate is within our marina, to see what that then in turn drives what our capital program is looking like and what the demands may be. And it could, we were thinking it might be a really considerable amount of money, since the last dredge effort cost about $750,000. But what we found was from the initial work that we've looked at, it'll be a fraction of the sediment volume that we had from that last one. The last dredge survey was around, we removed about 10,000 cubic yards. This survey, they're saying maybe it's 300 to 500 cubic yards is what is out there. So hopefully the effect of the resedimentation from the work done on the two bridges on Carpenter Creek, hopefully that is going to dissipate and it won't have as long a term effect. And that was also, if you remember, Mary and Steve, when we were talking and we met with Leonard Spencer and Allison O'Sullivan over at and Rob Purser at the Squamish, so wealthy
break.
But she had suspected that might be the case. I have to be honest, I was very suspect. And so this is really good news for us, what our exposure and our cash demands are going forward. So we'll, as we build out this really robust capital program, and this is one element, is maintaining that marina and the dredge, it's a huge part of our capital exposure, that this is really good news, and it makes me happy. Doesn't mean that we're off the hook. We still have to really save money, and we have to keep contributing to our reserves to preserve and actually grow what we have. And I know all three of you want to grow what we have. So we're going to be working in that direction going forward too. But this is good news. But you'll get, there will be a debrief, and then we'll probably present it in public session too about the dredge and sedimentation work.
I think that might be really helpful to reach out to Stillwaters even before the public debriefing and let them know. They're keenly concerned and have been involved from the beginning of all this.
Yeah.
Steve, you probably have the...
I do have, Sally does some volunteer work for them. I have, of course, in the past, being a past board member too, have a good affiliation with them. Their science folks, I think, would be very interested in this. I'd be happy to pass that along to them for sure. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. That was a great presentation, all. That was super. I think, Greg, did you have anything else to add?
No, I did. I did kind of neglect. I also want to thank Ray. He put me in touch with Dale and then Hollis. They came and talked to us about the beautification. They were awesome to work with. We talked about working through whatever challenges there were, and we just did it. And I think that we had a good outcome. I think they're okay with. That's my impression. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. I'm always trying to be careful, but I think they were pretty good with it. And I also want to thank all the other volunteers in the community that have been doing that effort with beautification. Les and Kim Poole, they also were volunteering and drove around the truck and were helping. And Austin was involved in that as well, of course. So, but there's a lot of those folks in that, that I just want to recognize. I can't name them all here, but there was a lot of folks. But we met with Dale and Hollis. They were fantastic.
They are great. Yeah.
Can I add something too, though? Greg's been so generous about thanking everybody else. He was up here on his Saturday morning day off to help put those plants up. So, Greg, you've been terrific with these volunteers also, and reaching out and understanding what predicament they're in to try to position the Port of Kingston to be able to help them out without throwing us under the bus legally. So thank you for that too, boss, and then back into the commissioner. So anyway, don't forget yourself in that little thank you note.
Excellent. Thank you all. I think, Mary, I think you had something that you wanted to add to, I recall.
Yeah, I think it's important that we all stay aware of this, and the lack of ability to predict what's going to happen over the next couple months is driving everybody nuts. There's two committees right now that we have a lot of connection with. One is the 4th of July Planning Committee, and the other is the Kingston Public Market Board. And both of those groups are in the process right now of reaching out to basically all of their members, the people who participate in the parade and the vendors for the market, to get their reaction to different scenarios for how to run the 4th of July and how to, if and when to open the market up. And I anticipate both of those groups are intending to make a decision on this coming Tuesday at respective meetings to figure out what the answers to those questions are. And they're very hard. I had a vendor call this morning and say, well, of course we've got to open on the 4th of July. And I said, well, there's a lot of difficulties whenever we open, but I need the money. And it just really brought home again to me how many people in so many small ways throughout the community are being affected by what's going on. And but next week we should have a read on exactly what those shows are going to look like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very good. I'm to kind of follow up on that, I wonder if there's a way that we can potentially provide maybe on the website or something, if somebody is a vendor or a connection through the website. I know the Chamber is still working with assisting us on upgrading the website, but in the meantime, perhaps there's a way we can forward vendor information or things like that with our group.
I think that would be great, and I can create that funnel.
That would be good. I think that'd be beneficial. Yeah, for sure. In this time. Yep. Alrighty.
I have one thing.
Okay, Wendy. Yeah.
On Tara's desk are the warrants to be signed.
Yeah.
So just as everyone can stop in and get those signed, she has them now. Right, Tara?
Great.
Yes, I have warrants, and then I'll have 2 months of meeting minutes that you guys can sign too. So I'll have that all ready for you. Just let me know.
And then the resolutions as well. We have those.
Thank you.
We'll have copies of those too. We can get those signed as well. And I'm here, so I will start it off and do the signatures.
What timeline do we have to do this, Wendy?
Whenever you get to, when you're all done stopping by, I just have to send them over to the county office and then file them in our books. So, Tara's got them now.
You want them done by this weekend or before this weekend?
No, you can be leisurely and, you know, do it anytime between now and next week. It's great. Whatever works in your schedule is fine.
Just wanted to know a timeline.
Okay. Tara might be more pressing than my stuff, but whatever works in your schedule is great for me.
Okay.
Yep.
Excellent.
Just let me know when you can make it in, and I'll make sure somebody's here for you to get it.
Whatever.
Got it.
Get everything signed.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Bye, Ron.
Did Ron just leave?
I think so.
Okay, all right. That was good to see him. Looks like he's doing well. Okay, well, I guess we'll move on to item 11, and just we'll announce the next regular meeting, will be June 24th, 2020. And that will be at 6:30. And as far as I'm aware, we'll still probably be doing this electronically. I assume that will be the case, but we'll just see how that goes. And at this point, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Very good. Okay, thank you all very much. Excellent.
Port of Kingston rocks. Port of Kingston rocks. Thank you.
That was good.
Yay!
Great seeing us all here.
If the port opens, update the sign to say so.
Yes. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, we updated the signs on the door. Oh, are you talking about the electronic reader board?
Yeah, if the fuel dock's open, let them know.
Okay.
Yes.
We did in the fuel dock, more so, versus only our tenants only. Because everything else was already open, and we didn't even know. It was in the WTPA meeting that Bremerton said they were open, and then I called Port of Seattle, and I called a couple others, and then Ray called some, and then I think Faith and Matt called a couple, and I was like, well, what the heck, you know? But they're in King County, even when we talked to some of these around here, so we said...
But they're still practicing social distancing. They're still being caught. That's the whole thing about this, is that even if you're open, you still need to keep protocols in place.
Follow the protocol, yeah, for sure.
So one thing about announcing on the sign that the port is open, that needs some real finesse because the 4th of July issue, et cetera, and things that aren't open.
I totally take that back. You're right. That should be the website that we say. I totally agree with you because people will.
We had to explain.
We're not still being recorded, are we?